herzlich willkommen zur Lesung von Nili Tschaikowski. Nili Tschaikowski, die Lesung wird in zweisprachig sein, also Deutsch in deutschen Übersetzungen. Die Übersetzungen hat Daniel Ostermann gemacht, der sitzt irgendwo hinten. Und die Deutschsprache, die Texte in Deutsch, wird Thomas Kassner lesen. Nili Tschaikowski ist in Santa Monica zur Welt gekommen, ist dort aufgewachsen. Er hat mit 15 Jahren ein Gedicht geschrieben. Dieses Gedicht hat er Charles Bukowski gewidmet. Mit diesem Gedicht ist er dann zu Charles Bukowski hingefahren, hat sie ihm gegeben, und der Charles Bukowski war angetan von diesem Gedicht. Sie waren ihr Leben lang große Freundschaft. Also man kann sagen, mit 15 Jahren ist er schon in die richtigen Hände geraten, wenn man so will. Auf jeden Fall in den 70er Jahren ist dann Nili Tschaikowski nach San Francisco übersiedelt. Er hat dort, ist er in der Untergrundszene, der Literatur-Untergrundszene, eine wichtige Figur geworden, bis zum heutigen Tag. Er hat alle großen, sagen wir, Untergrundliteraten, die in Amerika herauskommen aus dem Beat Generation, Hippie Generation, und er in mehreren Büchern porträtiert, unter anderem Lawrence Ferlinghetti, Bob Kaufmann, Allen Ginsberg, all diese Literaten. Er selbst ist vor allem ein Lyriker, zehn Gedichtbände publiziert, in Englisch und in mehreren Sprachen. Für mich Blumenkind, das große letzte dichtende Blumenkind. Also das ist mein Eindruck, seine Vorbilder sind Mahatma Gandhi und Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Also das gibt schon ein bisschen seine Philosophie und seinen Einstieg in die Literatur. Ja, und jetzt wünsche ich Ihnen spannende 35 bis 40 Minuten. Danke.
Thank you. I understood some of the words, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, Bukowski, Tchaikovsky, so I get the idea. I also heard Elias talk about the Beat Generation. I sort of come after the Beat Generation, but the Beat Generation is, Nietzsche is Beat Generation. Your own George Trockel was Beat Generation. Francois Villon in the 14th century was the Beat Generation. Jeremiah. So it's just a word that they use to beat people, you know. And it's a good word in academia now because people are getting PhDs on, you know, writing about the Beat Generation, you know. So, now I did grow up in Los Angeles. Does most people understand this? And you can hear me?
Yes.
Wow. You see, that's progress, so. And I met this guy Bukowski, and I've been fleeing from him all my life, and he just keeps coming around the corner. I mean, down the street, all of a sudden, there he was, you know. But there's so much else in my, you know, I don't speak German, but I'm so into the German. How do I pronounce it wrong? Friedrich Holder. Holderdins. How do I say Holderdin? He's my favorite because he brought the gods back. And when I mean bringing the gods back, I don't mean a god over here. I mean a god everywhere. The god of the mountain, the sky, and so also, I don't know German, but I know language. And I think there's only one language, the human language. And then there's variations on the theme, like somebody with the violin. That's how I look at life, you know. Maybe that's because I can't seem to learn a foreign language. So, but anyway, I'm going to start with a poem called 1967. In the Theosophical Living Room, we read from a book by Madame Helene Blavatsky. We ate in the kitchen from a blue bowl and listened to the radio. It could be worse than love. I loved your jade eyes and your thin, strong body, your manner of laughing, how you spoke my poems aloud. Who was he and what did he accomplish? His apple red cheeks, his sculpted lips, inviting me in the new century, pull him from the ether. You must translate the lost feeling, the ease of your love back then, and the impossible, well, the news is, how do the words fit into your heart? Whom do we walk upstairs with, hand in hand, as if we had skimmed and gone deeper? Every letter on my tongue I handed to you that early evening, then reached for your long blonde hair, kissed your cheeks, and began slowly to unbutton your shirt. We heard the robins outside in the South Pasadena night. The crowds would be leaving the racetrack, and the robins would trill until they were worn out. I brought you upstairs. The odors of the old house were perfect. No one would be home. They'd gone for several days. Even the mole who rented a room off the kitchen had left. I felt liberated and clear. It was 67. The war worked its alchemical way into the crevices of the Republic. I thought we would read poems forever and come to find meaning behind every window, that our understanding had grown deeper than the passage of time. I saw only how young we were. You were a year out of high school, and I was a student at Cal State. We visited my old poet friend in Hollywood. He might have guessed at our love. I think he imagined it. 2 decades later, he whispered, "I knew." But this was then, and we were thinking how love could not end. Prating into the commune where you lived, your mother and father, twin spires of salt, gave us a room of our own until we floated off that hillside across the San Fernando Valley. Many nights it did seem like forever as the war tugged at us, and the music grew louder. I heard the voice of Constantine Cavafy and held your body close to mine and lay quietly against your smooth skin. Later, when I came for you and found the place abandoned, I panicked and drove up the coast to where you had all lived before, but they had only rumors for me. I headed further north, taking side roads, finding enough information to keep me going, asking how could he leave me, driving and thinking of the birds and their chords, loud and finally silent, our hands intertwined. His parents must have done this to separate us, something he said to them, or they just had to move on. Or the year had died and I hadn't noticed. Driving north, never going back, driving in a redwood grove, the heavy shadows falling over memory. Driving into the rain, I saw my face in the glass of the window, the wipers moving at a loud clip. Darkness deepening, I can only cherish the idea that you were looking, or maybe just thinking of me.
'67. Im theosophischen Wohnzimmer lasen wir ein Buch von Madame Helene Blavatsky. Sie trug Handschuhe. Wir aßen in der Küche aus einer blauen Schale und hörten Radio. Es konnte schlimmer sein als Liebe. Ich liebte deine Jadeaugen und deinen schlanken, starken Körper, deine Art zu lachen, wie du meine Gedichte laut vortrugst. Wer war er und was hat er erreicht? Seine apfelroten Backen, seine geschwungenen Lippen luden mich ein im neuen Jahrhundert. Hol ihn aus dem Äther. Du musst das verlorene Gefühl übersetzen, die Leichtigkeit deiner Liebe damals und die unmögliche Quelle. Die Neuigkeit ist, Wie passen die Wörter in dein Herz? Wann gehen wir nach oben, Hand in Hand? Als wären wir wie Steine, über Wasser gehüpft und dann eingetaucht. Jeden Buchstaben auf meiner Zunge überreichte ich dir an jenem frühen Abend und berührte dann dein langes, blondes Haar, küsste deine Wangen und begann langsam dein Hemd aufzuknöpfen. Wir hörten die Rotkehlchen draußen in der Nacht von South Pasadena, wie die Menge die Rennbahn verließ und die Rotkehlchen trillerten, bis sie nicht mehr konnten. Ich führte dich nach oben. Die Gerüche des alten Hauses waren vollkommen. Niemand zu Hause. Sie waren für ein paar Tage weggefahren. Sogar der Maulwurf, der das Zimmer neben der Küche gemietet hatte, war fort. Ich fühlte mich frei und ungebunden. Es war 67. Der Krieg schlich sich auf geheimnisvollen Pfaden in die Risse der Republik. Ich dachte, wir würden für immer Gedichte lesen und Bedeutungsvolles finden, hinter jedem Fenster. Dass wir nun mehr begriffen als das bloße Vergehen der Zeit. Ich sah nur, wie jung wir waren. Du hattest vor einem Jahr die Highschool beendet und ich studierte an der Cal State. Wir besuchten meinen alten Dichterfreund in Hollywood. Er ahnte unsere Liebe wohl. Ich denke, er machte sich ein Bild davon. Zwei Jahrzehnte später flüsterte er, ich wusste. Aber das war damals. Und wir dachten, dass die Liebe nicht enden könne. Und als wir in die Kommune stolzierten, wo du lebtest, deine Mutter und dein Vater, zwei Salzsäulen, gaben uns ein eigenes Zimmer, bis es uns von diesem Berghang spülte und auf die andere Seite des San Fernando Valley. Viele Nächte schienen wie eine Ewigkeit, als der Krieg an uns zerrte und die Musik lauter wurde. Ich hörte die Stimme von Konstantin Kavafis und drückte deinen Körper an meinen und lag ruhig, dicht an deiner glatten Haut. Später, als ich kam, um dich zu holen und den Ort verlassen fand, geriet ich in Panik und fuhr die Küste hoch, dahin, wo ihr alle vorher gelebt hattet. Aber dort hatte man nur Gerüchte für mich. Ich fuhr weiter nach Norden, hielt mich an Nebenstraßen, schnappte genug Hinweise auf, um weiterzumachen und fragte mich, wie konnte er mich verlassen? Ich fuhr und dachte an die Vögel und deren Akkorde, laut und schließlich still, unsere Hände verschlungen. Seine Eltern müssen das getan haben, um uns zu trennen, etwas, das er zu ihnen gesagt hat. Oder sie mussten einfach weiterziehen, oder das Jahr war gestorben und ich hatte es nicht gemerkt. Allein nach Norden fahrend. Niemals in die andere Richtung. Durch einen Hain von Mammutbäumen, wo die schweren Schatten über die Erinnerung fielen. In den Regen fahrend sah ich mein Gesicht im Glas der Scheibe. Die Scheibenwischer bewegten sich hektisch. Die Dunkelheit verdichtete sich. Und ich konnte mich nur an die Vorstellung klammern, dass du nach mir Ausschau hieltst oder vielleicht bloß dachtest an mich.
A lot of these, I write so many different kinds of poems, and I have a book I've been writing. I wish I had sent some for translation. Because it's called Frankfurt. Sometimes when you write a book and a series of poems, you don't know what's coming. What is it? I was writing a book about the Holocaust called Frankfurt A to Olive, and it turned out being a book about all the things in Germany that I love, that I in terms of its cultural heritage, and then it became the whole German language. People from here, from Prague, from wherever who speak German. So it became a thing about culture. And the Holocaust is still there, but only inside of like an appendix in a way. So anyway, I just thought I'd say that these are sort of self-referential things, and nothing more than on a birthday you write about your age. Since I was 60, this is a poem called Thoughts at 67. At 60, I wrote one, and I said it's embarrassing. Being for me, it was embarrassing because I always thought of myself as young and like a child, you know. I felt like I was the oldest, youngest poet in the world. And then I came up with the idea that I'm not growing old, that I'm growing ancient. And the idea is that you want to grow old like a mountain or like a river or like a stream or like the moon or the sun. Those things, I think, I'm not sure, but I think those things don't care about us, but we care about them. And so we talk to them. And that's where the idea of this, of what I love with Hölderlin, is that he's trying to bring that level of spirituality back to a world that's so technological and that's squeezing the soul out. At least in the United States, the idea of talking about a soul is very old-fashioned, you know. And I think it's all these old things are waiting for us in the future, if we can make it that far. So thoughts at 67, that's what's behind this poem. Absurd, yes I am. Early to rise, there is little excuse, no denying how lucky the moon has been all my life. And even before, it hangs where it must, it shines as it will, just as the sun does and galaxies beyond. I missed out, yes, on the rough tarmac, my bag slipped open, out came precious property I'd amassed over time. A small blue book of Buddha, a slim notebook filled with birds drawn in cherry black ink, a turquoise ring, some fountain pens. Out came memories, a merry-go-round at Ocean Park when Harry Truman was president, and my mother sold cosmetics door to door. Oh, I am older than the Yale younger poets, bearded, as gray as Walt Whitman's, and just as capable of falling in love with handsome streetcar conductors. Grandmother Rose is back in Russia on a pony in the field, under the eye of her father who milled grain. My father is on the boxcars prying open a can of beans to feed me as the rails hum. His friends have turned into fire, white ash. They settle on the wings of a raven. I was short at age 13. Now almost everyone seems to tower over me. But way back then, so slim and every tooth in place, all those World War II veterans teaching us in class, reading William Cullen Bryant and the Red Pony, stripping for gym, the naked asses of my classmates perfectly in place. It's not right. I should have done more, been better, but the dog is here. He curls up beside me and moans as I rub his belly. 67, it somehow doesn't fit. But I must live this way, walking onto the deck, meditating over the garden, tossing a dead beetle into the shades of the banana bush. Senior, elder man, old, I've been around a while. The whales dive, the bees pollinate, and the lemon tree stays sturdy. All is fine. A certain grace inspires light and amber shadows to emerge. My garden is clean and orderly, a miniature paradise for 29 years with the same man, loving his mind, counting his steps at night on the steep stairs. It's quite okay to face forward, to say I'll write another book. I'll go to Innsbruck and recite my poems. I'll stay at my friend's house in the Tuscan hills, coffee as a prize when morning breaks over Carrera's marble hills.
Gedanken im Alter von 67. Absurd, ja. Früh aufzustehen, es gibt kaum eine Entschuldigung, kein Leugnen. Wie glücklich der Mond stets gewesen, mein Leben lang und sogar davor, hängt er, wo er muss, scheint, wann es ihm beliebt. Gerade so wie die Sonne und Galaxien jenseits. Ich kam zu kurz, ja. Auf dem rauen Asphalt ging meine Tasche auf und heraus fiel mir teurer Besitz, über Jahre angehäuft. Ein kleines blaues Buch mit Buddhas Prosa, ein dünnes Heft mit Vögeln gezeichnet in kirschschwarzer Tinte, ein Türkisring, ein paar Füllfedern. Heraus fielen Erinnerungen. Eine Karussellfahrt in Ocean Park, als Harry Truman Präsident war und meine Mutter Kosmetik verkaufte von Tür zu Tür. Oh, ich bin älter als die Yale Younger Poets. Der Bart so grau wie jener von Walt Whitman und ebenso imstande, mich zu verlieben in gut aussehende Straßenbahnschaffner. Großmutter Rose ist drüben in Russland auf einem Pferd in einem Feld unter den Augen ihres Vaters, der Korn mahlte. Und mein Vater auf den Güterwagen öffnet eine Dose Bohnen, um mich zu füttern, während die Schienen surren. Seine Freunde, zu feiner weißer Asche geworden, lassen sich nieder auf den Flügeln eines Raben. Mit 13 war ich klein, und nun scheint beinahe jedermann mich zu überragen. Aber damals, vor langer Zeit, so schlank und jeder Zahn an seinem Platz. All die Weltkriegsveteranen, die uns unterrichteten. Wir lasen William Cullen Bryant und The Red Pony, zogen uns für die Turnstunde aus, die nackten Hintern meiner Klassenkameraden wohl platziert. Es ist nicht richtig. Ich hätte mehr tun sollen, besser sein wollen. Aber der Hund hier, er rollt sich zusammen neben mir und seufzt, während ich ihm den Bauch kraule. 67. Es fühlt sich seltsam an, aber ich muss so leben. Auf die Terrasse hinaustreten, über dem Garten meditieren, einen toten Käfer in den Schatten des Bananenstrauchs schnippen. Senior, oldie, alter Mann, hab einiges gesehen. Die Wale tauchen, die Bienen bestäuben und der Zitronenbaum bleibt stark. Alles ist gut. Eine gewisse Gnade ruft Licht und bernsteinfarbene Schatten wach. Mein Garten ist sauber und ordentlich, ein kleines Paradies. 29 Jahre mit demselben Mann, dessen Geist ich liebe, dessen Schritte auf der steilen Treppe ich zähle in der Nacht. Es ist in Ordnung, nach vorne zu schauen, zu sagen, ich schreibe noch ein Buch, ich werde nach Innsbruck fliegen und meine Gedichte vortragen, ich werde im Haus meines Freundes in den toskanischen Hügeln schlafen, Kaffee als Belohnung im Morgengrauen über Carraras marmornen Hügeln.
I just want to say I'd forgotten that Innsbruck was in the poem. I said Innsbruck instead of Hall, but because I wrote that a long time ago, knowing I was coming, but I didn't do it for the reading, is what I'm saying. And then I am going to Tuscany, and I will be near Carrara, and that's all wonderful. I want to say my grandmother spoke Yiddish, so when I was a little boy, there were like 700 old, you know, ladies on the beach, little ladies from Romania, from Galicia, from the remains of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, from Russia, from the Ukraine, and they all spoke Yiddish. That was their united thing. So she'd say, "Mein Enkel Nili," and I wish I'd learned it. And when my father was 90, his grandchildren, he did Yiddish from 1 to 100, and then he did it backwards. He was 90, and I didn't even know he knew it. And then I said, my father in the boxcars, he was, I don't know the word in German, he was a hobo in the Depression for 5 years. You know what I'm, you know, he was in the missions and he would have to, he was Jewish, but he'd have to pray to Jesus to get money, to get food, to be fed. So that's what the reference there. So this is a poem called So Much Love. So much love that I want to hide from love. I sit in the garden thinking rose, tree fern, watching the hummingbirds, not a griever or a communist, not a believer or a capitalist. So much murder in the name of the people, so much acrimony poured into one corner as the other corner burns down to a raw nerve. So many experts on love and fond regard who choose the oppressor to oppress. So many who know so much. So safe to feel protected by those who know, those who love. I wait on the hummingbird as he or she, it, flits over the fence, carrying no banner save that of a primal dream of flight and of standing solid midair, and it is all so right.
So viel Liebe. So viel Liebe, dass ich mich vor der Liebe verstecken möchte. Ich sitze im Garten, Rose denkend, Baumfarm. Beobachte den Kolibri, weder Trauernder noch Kommunist, weder Gläubiger noch Kapitalist. So viel Morden im Namen des Volkes, so viel Bitterkeit in die eine Ecke gegossen, während in der anderen die Nerven blank liegen. So viele Experten der Liebe und des liebevollen Respekts, die sich ihren Unterdrücker wählen. So viele, die so viel wissen. So sicher, sich beschützt zu fühlen von jenen, die wissen, jenen, die lieben. Ich warte auf den Kolibri, der oder die über den Zaun flitzt, ohne Banner, außer jenem eines uralten Traums vom Fliegen und vom Schweben in der Luft. Und gerade so muss es sein.
Two more, that's it. We're doing okay with the times? Okay, we're cool. We are cool. The anniversary is, this is for my partner, Jesse Cabrera, who's from the Philippines. One day I woke up and I said, I'm going to meet an Asian doctor and live with him the rest of my life. 24 hours later, we met. So that was pretty cool. Now, if that could only happen with a literary prize, if I say, 24 hours later, I'm going to get a big prize, but it hasn't happened yet. But so this is from 2 years ago on our anniversary. And, you know, being with somebody, even it's, you know, it's most of you know, being with somebody is a wonderful thing, you know. Two and together, but you're never really, you're always just yourself. You have your own angels and demons and all that sort of thing. You know? So simple it is, yet I hardly know who you are after 27 years. I look at you when you are sleeping, your hair gray now like my own, deep laughter coming out of your sleep. I turn the light out and touch moonlight steaming in from the blinds. Well, I'm a poet, and you're a psychiatrist. I'm a Jewish guy from Southern California. You were born in the Philippines. We met in Los Angeles under a bleeding ire of the palm trees. I think it was summer. We were phantoms, born to conspire. We drove north in my old green car. It should be simpler, yet I cannot explain the distant lights of dead stars, nor the dead scope of the gods, nor the light that lives in your eyes, or your anger and your joy in leaves me in the dust sometimes. I peeked inside a few times as the decades sank into the soil. Your father died and you flew home to the brown sky and the banana and the barrios, excuse me. Then your mother. I sat beside you when the phone rang and you were off again from the old terminal at SFO. Because they had lived with us, I shared some of the loss. I saw my mother off and my father, and then I held on to your sleeping lips. I saw the moon cross our bedroom and settle on a folded copy of an old newspaper, and then to your sandals. Simple, yet puzzling, the tides crying out for a storm and rings of thunder crisscrossing the mountains beyond. So mysterious, you remain. I think there is no knowing another beyond a certain point, and that the clown in love is a magician, and the wise old fool is a clown forever, and that the Sphinx knows nothing. But we do, we know little. We peek, we steal into one another without giving it a thought. So complex is this simplicity, two gentlemen together, little lights, old gray roses, little but all generosity in knowing where to forget and when to remember, feeling how to bow forever before the mother of love and then run for cover. Simple, yet filled with varying shades, earth tones and blue waves on the black rock. Dread grave of silence, I push the moon into your body as you lie sleeping. So many summers and so much light, so many mornings, so much that will not yield when I find you here near me alone.
Jahrestag. So einfach es auch ist, ich weiß kaum, wer du bist. Nach 27 Jahren. Ich sehe dich an, wenn du schläfst. Dein Haar grau jetzt wie mein eigenes. Und ein tiefes Lachen kommt aus deinem Schlaf. Ich schalte das Licht aus und berühre Mondlicht, das hereinströmt durch die Jalousien. Nun, ich bin ein Dichter und du ein Psychiater. Ich bin ein Jude aus Südkalifornien, du wurdest geboren auf den Philippinen. Wir trafen uns in Los Angeles unter dem blutenden Zaun der Palmen. Ich denke, es war Sommer. Wir waren Phantome, geboren uns zu verschwören. Wir fuhren nordwärts in meinem alten grünen Wagen. Es sollte einfacher sein, doch ich kann das ferne Licht von toten Sternen nicht erklären, noch den Machtverlust der Götter, noch das Licht, das in deinen Augen lebt, oder deine Wut und deine Freude, die mich in den Staub drückt, manchmal. Ein paar Einblicke habe ich erhascht, während die Jahrzehnte in die Erde sanken. Dein Vater starb und du flogst nach Hause zum braunen Himmel und den Barrios. Dann deine Mutter. Ich saß neben dir, als das Telefon läutete, und wieder hobst du ab vom alten SFO Terminal. Weil sie bei uns gelebt hatten, teilte ich etwas von dem Schmerz. Ich verlor meine Mutter und meinen Vater, und dann klammerte ich mich an deine schlafenden Lippen. Ich sah den Mond unser Schlafzimmer durchqueren und sich niederlassen auf einer alten gefalteten Zeitung und dann auf deinen Sandalen. Einfach, dabei verwirrend. Die Gezeiten rufen nach einem Sturm und der Klang von Donner überzieht die Berge draußen. So geheimnisvoll bleibst du. Ich glaube, man kennt einen anderen nie wirklich. Und dass der verliebte Clown ein Magier ist, und der weise alte Narr für immer ein Clown. Und dass die Sphinx nichts weiß, aber wir schon. Wir wissen. Wir wissen wenig. Wir schielen, wir stehlen uns in den anderen hinein, ohne einen Gedanken. So kompliziert ist diese Einfachheit. Zwei Gentlemen zusammen. Kleine Lichter. Alte graue Rosen. Klein, aber großzügig, wenn die Frage ist, wo vergessen und wann sich erinnern. Mit dem Gefühl dafür, wie wir uns für immer verneigen vor der Mutter der Liebe und dann in Deckung gehen. Einfach und doch gefüllt mit unsteten Schatten, Erdtönen und blauen Wellen auf dem schwarzen Fels. Schreckliche Gnade der Stille, schiebe ich den Mond in deinen Körper, während du schläfst. So viele Sommer und so viel Licht, so viele Morgen, so viel, das sich nicht fügt, wenn ich dich hier finde, mir nahe, allein.
I like to say there's a whole group of poems I'm not reading from called From the Middle Woods, and actually there's copies in the book thing of this little book, and I'm mentioning it for a reason. It's based on the Confucian Odes as translated by Ezra Pound, and much of my thinking, I talk about how I care about the German poets, much of my thinking for 50 years has been with the Chinese and the Asian and Indian poets, and at the same time I have many, many poems on Mexico. I've read in Mexico many times. I have many friends there, spend a lot of time there. And that just, you know, being all over the place, and it sounds a little, I don't know if they have the word corny, it sounds a little stock, but the idea that the neighborhood is everywhere, that you're in San Francisco, you walk onto a plane, and then you walk out in Hall, and it's, and you know, and I have to say that I know many people knit this thing together, but the people I know, Elias and Heinz and Magdalena, you know, it was amazing. They walked in from Hall onto a plane and they went to North Beach in San Francisco and they met all of us and they brought us here and they've read there and it's a marvelous thing. And we hang out in a lot in the place called the Cafe Trieste that was founded by a man who came from Trieste, Italy. See how it works? It's all over the place. So to me, that's just amazing. Then I came up with the idea that what if the whole cosmos was our neighborhood? You know, what about that? I mean, it's just nothing's foreign, you know. So anyway, I'm going to end with it. This really doesn't, in a way, it's the oddball poem of the... So I thank Elias and company for bringing myself and my colleagues here and for bringing all these other people. It's an amazing thing. Where's my translator? There he is. Hey, thank you so very much for bringing me into... And thank you for telling me how much you enjoyed. That made me happy. I can look in the mirror and smile, you know, even with the broken teeth and all. So Mantegna is a... You know, I also write a lot of poems about artists. You know, what art? All over the world. I could... You know, it just doesn't matter. It's just, you know... I'll read it, yeah. Mantegna.
Neely.
Say what?
There is a question.
Oh, what?
Who is your German reader?
Who is my German...
I think Elias has introduced me. My name is Thomas Gustav.
Oh, my God, yes.
No. He has introduced
me. Okay.
Yeah, it's all okay. Oh.
This man, this is beautiful. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure.
I'll have to get an 8-week crash course in German now, with these lovely people. You know. So Mantegna, yes, I saw this. Where did I see this? I just want to say there's another something in the modern world. I talk about bringing the gods back. We smash so much, and rightly so, I think politically we smash. And I'm always worried about what'll come in its place. Will there be some kind of reign of usually? Usually there's a reign of terror after the overthrow of something awful, and then something good maybe comes out, and then the process is repeated again. And I'm just wondering how we can change that. I had to get the politics cleverly sneaked in here. Sometimes, mostly I think that art and poetry can serve something in terms of praising things, and looking at things and praising them, and let somebody else tear something apart in a way, you know. I hate so many things that my country does around the world, and yet I cannot say I can't damn the country. I like the mechanism that's kept it together. That I do like. And if I talk to my two Yiddish grandmothers, they were so happy to come there in 1904, 1905, from not just oppression, from the threat of the daily threat of death. So that's all, you know. Mantegna. Consider the blue and the red. Take your pain to the hills. Do not allow envy or anger into the house. Step over the dying leaves and let no man cast a spell over your daydreams. The women are enigmatic in so much of what is seen on the walls. Emerging from the corner of the gallery comes a ghost out of another time. He explains how to listen to the images. Some men are in love and others spread malicious talk over the town. Then remember to shut your eyes for a moment in the gallery or before the altar. Mantegna's Christ in Scruto has toes curled inward. They touch the viewer. His arms are in repose. His face leans to the left. The foreshortened perspective goes where it should not go. This is a most human god and goes toward dread desire. The dead god is obscene. Two old women weeping appear to represent every man, living in fear of what is coming. But then the eyes of the deity are slammed shut. His belly button is a human one. He has a bulge in the right location, and there are holes on the backside of his hands where the Romans nailed him so he would hang forever.
Mantegna, bedenke das Blau und das Rot. Trag deinen Schmerz in die Berge. Lass Neid oder Wut nicht ins Haus. Steig über die sterbenden Blätter und lass niemanden deinen Tagtraum verhexen. Die Frauen sind geheimnisvoll in so vielen. An den Wänden aus der Ecke der Galerie tritt ein Geist aus einer anderen Zeit. Er erklärt, wie den Bildern zu lauschen sei. Einige Männer sind verliebt und andere verbreiten üble Gerüchte in der Stadt. Dann denk daran, die Augen zu schließen für einen Moment in der Galerie oder vor dem Altar. Die Zehen von Mantegnas Christo in Scurto sind gekrümmt. Sie berühren den Betrachter. Seine Arme liegen entspannt, sein Gesicht nach links geneigt. Die verkürzte Perspektive lenkt den Blick dahin, wo er nichts verloren hat. Dies ist ein höchst menschlicher Gott und er schürt ein schreckliches Verlangen. Der tote Gott ist obszön. Zwei weinende alte Frauen scheinen für uns alle zu stehen, die wir in Angst leben vor dem, was kommt. Doch die Augen der Gottheit sind fest geschlossen. Sein Bauchnabel ist ein menschlicher. Er hat eine Wölbung an der richtigen Stelle und da sind Löcher in seinen Handrücken, wo die Römer ihn angenagelt haben, so, dass er für immer hängen möge.
Thank you. Thank you. One thing, I realized ending with that poem, I might have ended, I'm just saying, it's my own gut thing. I wish I'd ended with another thing, but you understood the preface to it. It's more about how we look at the world. I look at all, you know, a lot of people, they don't like, they think that all these religions oppressed us, and in a way they did, but we've had the mythopoeic with us since the beginning of time, it seems like. There must be something right in it as well. You know, it's all balances out. That's all I wanted to say. So that was, my poems are always done with respect. I just want to end with that. That was a respectful poem. It's actually a very deeply religious poem as far as I'm concerned. So thank you. Thanks again for, and thank you all for being here. So very much.